You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's being called the worst drug crisis in American history, the addiction to opioid prescription painkillers. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention tell us opioids were involved in nearly two-thirds of the deaths from drug overdoses in 2014. That's 29,000 lives lost. The numbers are staggering, but what's causing the problem? And why are so many of the victims white American women? This report is from the BBC's James Fletcher.
I remember looking at some of the early federal reports involving opioid painkillers and overdose deaths, and they had increased so rapidly. When I was looking at the data, I was convinced someone had put a decimal point in the wrong place.
This is Dr. Andrew Kolodny talking about working in addiction medicine in New York City in the early 2000s. Opioids are painkillers which have a similar effect to heroin and are derived from the same source, opium.
This sharp increase was very real, and what we would ultimately come to recognize is that we were at the beginning of a new, very severe epidemic.
Dr. Kolodny is now a senior scientist at Brandeis University in Massachusetts and executive director of Physicians for Responsible Opioid Prescribing. He says that traditionally, opioids were only given to people with terminal cancer or used briefly after major surgery. Other uses of these highly addictive drugs were considered too risky. But in the late 90s, that reluctance began to change.
34 million adults suffer from chronic pain.
The reason that the medical community began to prescribe opioids so aggressively is that we were responding in many ways to a brilliant marketing campaign that had been launched by the maker of an opioid pain medicine, a drug called OxyContin.
We doctors were wrong in thinking that opioids can't be used long term. They can be, and they should be.
That's marketing material from the 1990s produced by the makers of OxyContin, Purdue Pharma. There was also lobbying to get pain classified as a vital sign, an objective measure like temperature or pulse. Hospitals had to screen all patients for pain on a scale of 1 to 10, and their funding was in part contingent on lowering those pain scores with aggressive treatment. Prescriptions for opioid painkillers exploded.
Rates of overdose deaths begin to soar. So from 1999 to 2014, 250,000 Americans have died of an opioid overdose. Today, there are more Americans dying of drug overdoses than dying from motor vehicle crashes.
Opioids also kill more Americans than guns every year.
So this is the worst drug addiction epidemic in United States history. We have about 10 to 12 million Americans on opioids chronically. So many Americans on opioids chronically that drug companies can now make money selling medicines to treat the side effects from being on opioids chronically.
If you need an opioid to manage your chronic pain, you may be so constipated. It feels like everyone can go, except you.
It's an astonishing sign of how bad the epidemic has become. During this year's Super Bowl, the most watched television event of the year, with the most expensive advertising, an ad was shown for a medicine to treat opioid-induced constipation.
Made on behalf of those living with chronic pain and struggling with OIC.
When we look at the specific groups worst affected by the opioid epidemic, we see they're the same as those at the center of the mortality crisis.
What we've seen is a very sharp increase in prescription opioid overdoses in women. I think one of the reasons is that middle-aged women are more likely to receive treatment for a chronic pain problem from a doctor. They're more likely to be prescribed prescription opioids.
The same is true of the middle-aged, who are more likely than the young to be prescribed and overdose on opioids. And addiction and overdose rates are higher amongst poor and working-class communities. So we can see the pieces of the mortality puzzle coming together. But there's something else.
This epidemic is almost completely white. It's so white that it's fair to say that it's protective in some ways to be African-American or Latino.
That's a dramatic statement, and in stark contrast to the heroin epidemic of the 70s or the crack epidemic of the 80s that devastated minority communities. But that history might offer a surprising explanation.
What I think may be happening is that if the patient is black, the doctor is more concerned about the possibility of the patient becoming addicted, or they're more concerned about the possibility of the patient selling their pills. What I think is going on is that racial stereotyping is having a protective effect on non-white populations.
In 2007, Purdue Pharma pleaded guilty to misleading doctors and patients about the addictive properties of OxyContin and paid $600 million in fines. It's also reformulated OxyContin to deter abuse, and the government has made changes to prescribing guidelines for doctors. But opioid-related deaths are still setting new records each year.
That report by Stateside's partner, the BBC's James Fletcher.